Today on the show, Radical One, celebrate the upcoming 20th anniversary of Ghost Whisperer, the 2005 supernatural series starring Jennifer Love Hewitt.
You have to cross over into the light.
It's time to get radical.
Hello there.
It's showtime.
What is this, trick-or-treat?
Too late!
Did I do that?
Good morning, Charlie.
Deal with it.
Daddy would have gotten us Uzis.
The power is yours.
Get down, honey. Get down.
Yeah.
I won't go far, okay? If the apocalypse comes,
hold
your fire. I'm a
My
human.
Name is Grace Jones.
Thunder.
Power 3 will set us free.
Power 3 will set us free.
Power 3 will set us free.
But I am one to gossip, so if anyone asks you, you ain't heard
it
from me. No, you have.
No more room in hell. The dead will walk here.
Scooby-Dooby-Doo!
Welcome back, Radical Ones, to another episode of the Radical Retro Rewind Podcast. As always, I am your host, Radical Ryan Hunter, here with our friend and returning guest co-host, Cadu.
Boo, I'm back.
Cadu is here to celebrate the upcoming year of Ghost Whisperer's 20th anniversary. Ghost Whisperer, of course, is the American supernatural TV series, which ran on CBS from September 23rd of 2005 to May 21st, 2010. If anyone knows Cadu, he is a huge fan of Jennifer Love Hewitt. I love her as well, but nothing matches my friend here. And we are both excited about, of course, her return in the upcoming I Know What You Did Last Summer sequel.
What are you waiting for?
We are so ready for the trailer. This is going to be the year of J-Love.
Yes, 100%. And we are ready for it.
We are so, so ready for it.
It's a gift.
Will you help me?
Help me.
I don't know where I am.
You need to cross over.
Few possess.
There's a reason that I am pulled into these people's lives.
Some things are beyond your help. Anybody's help.
It's a curse.
Why does everything always come back to spirits?
I haven't always wanted this gift myself. In fact, sometimes I absolutely hate it.
Few can control.
Jim, please let me handle this, okay?
This guy might be a murderer.
I know what I'm dealing with here. You're overreacting.
Then you're underreacting, okay? People are getting hurt.
It's a power.
I don't know why I'm dead. I don't know what happened.
You have to cross over into the light.
That changes lives.
I don't understand what you're trying to say. Just tell me.
But your father is dead, but his spirit is still here. And he wants you to know what happened.
Tell her I can feel her.
She knows.
One of the pleasant new surprises on TV.
Okay. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say that that was ghost related.
That's not funny. Sometimes when a person dies, their spirit's left behind.
I don't pretend to be a good man. I truly believe that I can make amends.
I can help you go where you need to go. And there'll be people there who will take care of you. We're in the life business. Death is just a part of it.
Ghost Whisperer.
The series follows the life of Melinda Gordon, Jennifer Love Hewitt, who has the ability to see and communicate with ghosts. While trying to live as normal a life as possible, she is married and owns an antique store. Melinda helps earthbound spirits resolve their problems and cross over into the light. Her tasks are difficult at times, and she struggles with people who push her away and do not believe her gift. In addition, the ghosts are mysterious and sometimes menacing at first, and Melinda must use the clues available to her to understand the spirit's needs and help them. So let's talk about how you came to Ghost Whisperer. Of course, Jennifer Love Hewitt, but...
Yeah, it all started with her because I was a huge fan of I Know What You Did Last Summer, like you mentioned. And after that, I never miss a project of hers. And I was so excited because Charmed is my favorite TV show of all time. And Ghost Whisperer actually premiered during the last season of Charmed. So it was a great gift for me to have something new to watch as Charmed was ending. And Jennifer Love Hewitt was my favorite movie actress, and she was doing a TV show. So it was the perfect match, you know, and I fell in love with the show from the pilot, and it was magical.
Our stories are so similar. We both were looking for our Charmed, and I'm not going to say replacement, but it was definitely going to fill a void left by Charmed, right? We were looking for the next TV show that we could get invested in. It sounds like both of us at the time.
Yeah, and I used to tape Charmed on VHS every single episode. Yes. And the only other show that I did that was Ghost Whisperer during the first two seasons, I believe.
Oh my God, back in the day when we had to do VHS tape. Did you do the pausing for the commercials, Cadu?
Yes, I couldn't stand the commercials.
A classic. The fun of that.
Yeah, because it was actually fun to wait for the commercial break to end so you can see what happened.
Yes, and be sure you were there when the show came back to press resume or unpause or whatever for the recording.
Yeah.
Now, before we get into the series as a whole, there was a show which actually Cadu and I both enjoyed as well called Medium that came out the same year, right? So just like Cadu said, this is 2004. Five-ish. Charmed is wrapping up, and this show premiered in January, right? It's based on a real-life woman, Allison Dubois, who lives in Arizona. It's so strange, isn't that? It comes back to Arizona with me. They both were compared at the time because they had similar plots, but honestly, the two are so different in tone and style that it's hysterical to think about it. But at one point, Medium, that was on NBC for five seasons, got canceled, and CBS, this shocked me, Cadu. CBS ended up picking up Medium, and the two shows aired right after each other. It blew my mind.
And it was a perfect combo because your favorite mediums were, you know, on the same night. And I remember when Jennifer Love Hewitt and Patricia Arquette presented at the Emmys together.
Yes!
Such a surprise to see the two TV mediums together, and it was awesome.
That was actually a highlight for me as well, having been a fan of both.
My name is Melinda Gordon. I just got married, just moved to a small town, just opened up an antique shop. I might be just like you. Except from the time that I was a little girl, I knew that I could talk to the dead.
It's all right, honey.
Earthbound spirits, my grandmother called them. The ones who have not crossed over because they have unfinished business with the living, and they come to me for help. To tell you my story, I have to tell you theirs.
As we said, the series follows the life of Melinda Gordon. And season one, we start off in the pilot that she is getting married to her husband. Oh, and Jim, the most perfect man in the world. Unbeatable, really.
Yeah, I think only Allison's husband can be a close runner-up, you know?
That's really funny. And again, this is not a Medium retrospective, but I remember really clearly, Cadu, talking to my parents, and they were like, wow, they're really trying to outdo Joe on Medium with Jim. Like, he is beyond patient, because Allison's husband was really wonderful. At a point, he would get annoyed, I feel like. Jim was like a puppy dog of just love and amazingness.
And it was so great to see that they were both, you know, she was dealing with death and so was he. And it was great to see that balance, because he was trying to save people and she was trying to, you know, cross them over into the light.
And we find out in that pilot that, right, I want to say that he wants to keep as many people alive so she doesn't have to go through this and talk to these spirits. Unfortunately, there's so many dead people that he could never keep up. But
yeah.
So she owns this antique store, which, how do you feel about that? I think it's a genius way of incorporating history, but not having her be like working as in a hospital like Jim. But she's still being able to connect possibly to a ghost with their objects and meeting people that are coming in and out of the store. It's a genius way, I think, to put her character in the middle of something like this in a beautiful town that's so charming and things like that. It's like the perfect location.
Yeah, you said it perfectly, because I think this is genius, because what other place would you have objects that have, you know, that people's energy? And an antique shop is perfect for that. And by the way, I love the name, Same As It Never Was.
So, so cute.
And the small town aspect of it all, it makes it extra charming, because can you believe that you are the only person in the town that talks to ghosts? I mean, I'm pretty sure that she was bad talked in the whole town. Like, this is a freak girl. And such a charming small town. I remember when I was with my boyfriend visiting some small towns here in Brazil, and we were like, oh, this is just like Granville from Ghost Whisperer, because it was so cute and so, you know, delicate.
And that's one of the things, by the way, recently you have introduced the first season to your boyfriend of Ghost Whisperer to get his reaction and his feelings to the show. So I love this.
Yeah, and it was major for me, because he is not a TV show kind of guy. He prefers movies. And I said, give Ghost Whisperer a chance, and he did, and it was wonderful. Now we're on our way to the second season.
Oh yes, in the first season we kind of have a small group, I would say, of characters. It's usually Melinda, Jim, and her best friend, which we are introduced already knowing about the ghost. I gotta tell you, that is the best part of this. We don't have to go through that. We do see a flashback of, you know, the conversation in the second season, but it's Aisha Tyler as Andrea. Really friendship goals, right?
Yeah, and you know me, I do hate origin stories. So for me,
yes,
to
so
have
true.
A pilot like that, it was so great, because we only learn about Melinda's journey in the beginning when she is a kid, and then we jump, you know, 20 years into the future and she is already doing what she does. So it was great to have that jump and meet her friends, meet her husband, and they all know about her secret. So it was great.
So true, Kadu. We didn't have to go through the whole thing of revealing the secret to the best friend and then to the husband slash fiance. So I totally agree.
And when they do by flashbacks during later episodes.
While researching, there is this fantastic, and honestly the only really big thing on YouTube, a Ghost Whisperer retrospect by someone named Sloane Stowe. And she spoke to the creator, Kadu, John Gray. This was fascinating. They went out to lunch together, and she was able to ask him certain questions. So CBS often interfered with the storyline, and they didn't want continued stories beyond like that Ghost of the Week for Kadu and I, dare I say, Touched by an Angel kind of formula is what I'm gathering what they wanted. Just like anybody could come in at any week and the episode is contained. So the creator really had to push for this serialization of the storyline. And the other thing I found out that CBS, they were interfering a lot. So the fact that this show was filmed evidently really quickly, I don't know how, Kadu, but the turnaround they said was so fast, and because they owned it, they could change storylines within like almost weeks. So I wonder how much of that interfered. But I gotta tell you, we love, I mean, right, like, again, to echo other shows, we love continuities as fans. I feel like we love continuing storylines.
Yeah, but in this case I really understand CBS, because I still am a huge fan of the first two seasons of Ghost Whisperer, because yes. I loved the theme of the episode, you know, the ghost of the week, to know that person, to know that story, and then by the end you see that person going to the light. So for me, it worked. And later on, at end of season 3, season 4, and season 5, they wanted to, you know, give the town a mystery. They wanted to give Melinda's past like something more of it. And
yes.
And I'm gonna say, I kinda, not that I don't like that, but the magic of the first two seasons were more special to me.
So do you think they overcomplicated it towards the end then? They were trying to add so many, like you said, and we'll get into it, but there's a town that's discovered underneath the existing town and things like that, and they're just dropped?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, I understand why they did it, because I think you have to have something new to get people excited. But at the same time, I think loyal fans wanted to see the journey of the ghosts, and, you know, they were connected with Melinda in that sense. So when I think they amplified the story with mysteries and multiple characters, and I think that's when the show jumped the shark a little bit. But like I said, I love the 5 seasons of it all, but I think the first two were special in that aspect. But before we talk about that and season 2, I have to go back to the beginning because I think, I don't know if listeners know about this, but when Jennifer joined the show, CBS offered her a deal, you know, to star a show. And they said, okay, we have a comedy and we have a drama. And she was like, okay, I can read both and we see what it is, you know? And I think it was her birthday and she was out with friends and family at a magic castle in Los Angeles. And she said that a person that said, oh, a spirit wanted to talk to you. And she was like, a spirit wanted to talk to me? What the hell? And then when she got back home, the pilot of Ghost Whisperer was by the door. So she said it was destiny, you know, because in the same night.
That is absolutely amazing. I never heard that story, Kadu.
Isn't it amazing?
It truly is. And I actually was saying it. I was thinking, yeah, she could definitely do comedy, like, for sure. But I do love when she does drama, just to see her being able to, the tears just pour out of her, as you know.
And the comedy was How I Met Your Mother. So I think,
wow.
Yeah, I think she did great because Ghost Whisperer is basically her, you know, she's carrying the show.
And she was a producer, I want to say, Kadu,
yeah,
throughout this show. So this really was her baby in a way.
Since season one, and I love that.
Tell him.
He can hear you. He's right next to me.
Before we talk about season two, I have to talk about the opening credits because this is one of my favorites of all time. I love the opening credits of Ghost Whisperer. It gets me in the mood. And a funny story about that, when I was introducing Ghost Whisperer to my boyfriend and the opening was on and he was about to skip it. And I was like, don't you dare. You have to have the whole experience to watch the whole introduction. And he was like, okay.
I totally agree, Kadu. You need that intro. You cannot pass that by. Definitely a new thing with streaming and TV shows not really having intros anymore. People are just so used to just seeing like a title screen, I feel like, and not realizing that they're getting art, music. And Kadu's right. This is a beautiful intro.
And the mythology behind it, I think in the first season DVD, we have those bonus stuff and they explain the opening credits and it's magical.
Oh my god, you are taking me back because I was telling Kadu off screen, I want to say I have the first two seasons for sure, the third I believe as well. I so remember that being an extra on the DVD. Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Ghost Whisperer had two openings because the first is when Melinda introduced herself and we have a little bit of the episode and then the opening credits.
Which I think is genius for a show like that. If you are worried about people getting into it, here's the basic plot in literally less than 60 seconds. My name is Melinda. I see spirit. I'm married. I have these friends. I work in this antique store and stuff is going to happen.
And then when the opening credits roll, we can hear, can you see us?
The show as a whole, I mean, I didn't say it early on. I should have said it to begin with, Radical Ones. But the show as a whole, and Kadu, I want to have your opinion on this as well. I mean, besides like the scary moments, I feel like this is such a warm, easy show to enjoy. Like every character is likable. The town, as we mentioned, is gorgeous. It's warm. It's inviting. I would love to live in this town for sure.
Yes. And like you said, I cried in every single episode, especially when there was a kid involved. I was bawling my eyes out every single time. One of the things that I love about the show is that ghosts don't know that time has passed. You know, the pilot and Melinda's first ghost deals with the same thing. You know, one ghost from the 70s and one ghost from, I don't know, the 80s. And they still think they are in that time. So they are still holding on memories and the people, but they are all moved on, not on them, but, you know, moved on with their lives. And I think that's the reality of it all. You know, when you lose somebody, you have to keep going. And if, I don't know, that person is left on this earth, she is still still think that maybe a day passed, but then you discover that 20 years has passed.
Oh my God, that's a shock. I feel that like that when we hear that 20 years has passed for Ghost Whisperer.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Maybe we are ghosts.
Oh God. Can you hear us? Can you hear us? Can you see us? There is one part that, and David said, I have to bring this up when I talk to Cadu about Ghost Whisperer. He's been joking about this for 20 years. How... Because I, you know, I started out in the beginning and then I kind of, when he was around, I would watch episodes with him, rewatch episodes, and he would watch it on his own sometimes. But he always would make fun of how, like, the ghost would be with Melinda. And this is actually, I feel like, often happens, right? The person is there and he's saying, tell me, like, Balthazar Getty in the pilot, tell him this and tell him that. And she goes, they can hear you. You know, they're standing right here. But he always laughs about how, like, they go on and on and on. And on. And then Melinda, I get it as an audience member because you just heard it, but Melinda will be like, they said they loved you. And like, he's like, but what about everything else? Like,
she doesn't have time. She wanted to those people in the light.
Kenny wants you to know that he loves you.
He always says that, like, out of nowhere, 20 years later, we'll be talking, and then he'll say, and they said they loved you. Just a long-standing thing. But I always say, if you're an audience member, you get the idea that, you know, she's not going to say the whole entire thing. But maybe summarize it a little more.
Yeah.
As we ended season one, and Cadu, this is a memory I could still remember. We get this season finale. There's a plane crash in the town. That's shocking as it is to begin with, especially on a show like this. And the whole entire episode, we don't know really that Andrea is dead.
Such a shocking surprise.
That ending where her brother comes up, and she was worried about her brother the whole entire episode, and we find out it's the opposite, that she's gone. I remember looking over at my parents like, what just happened?
I was so in shock because Andrea was that great best friend, as you said, and we loved her, you know, as a character. So when we discovered that she's actually dead, we only get to see her, you know, goodbye on the season premiere of the second season.
Yes.
So it was such a shocking way to end the season, basically.
And then waiting all summer long to find out what happened. There was one part of me that, and they do this in the season premiere to trick you at one point, that she might not be dead or it was a dream or something. But no, unfortunately, we pick up in season two and she is passed.
Tell me this isn't true.
I'm so sorry. I tried to tell you, but I didn't want to let you go. I kept thinking it was a dream and I was gonna wake up. It can't be happening. I'm falling in love with a poet.
Your child has so much potential, but your local schools may not be right for them. Check out K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited tuition-free online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who have chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more. That's k12.com/podcast.
But in this, there is this evil spirit. And this is one of the characters, Cadu, I want to say, that's kind of like goes nowhere. His name is Romano?
Yeah.
Okay. It's not just a cheese name. Okay. So Romano, he's after her spirit this whole entire time and kind of making her angry. And we see Melinda really mourn. I mean, throughout the whole season, we didn't even mention this, I cry every episode of this show.
Oh, me too.
Oh, by the way, September 23rd of 2005 through May 5th of 2006 was season one. And season two began in September 22nd of 2006. 2006, ending on May 11th, 2007. So season two still concentrates on Melinda Gordon getting visits from the earthbound spirits in need of help. However, Melinda must seek help from a new character, Professor Rick Payne, on several occasions while containing her secrets from him and a new employee, Delia Banks. Melinda also begins seeing signs leading to a disaster to happen on May 11th. And now, isn't that funny that they would use the air date? I love that, Cadu.
Perfect.
And must figure out what the five signs mean in order to prevent the disaster. Okay, so we pick up resolving the Andrea thing, like we said. Traumatic, very sad. This ghost is involved. And we kind of think that this, I always thought that this was going to end up being like one of the big bads, as they would call it, of the season. But no.
But in some way, I like that because maybe in the spirit world, it was all resolved, you know, so that person doesn't bother her anymore.
This season, and I think this is genius, much to echo our Charmed again, they didn't introduce her new best friend character right away in the sense that, yes, Cameron Manheim, who we're talking about, who plays Delia Banks, she also has a son, Ned Banks, who does the famous time jumping in between seasons where you age up in a season.
Yeah.
But they don't have her work in the store right away. It's like Paige not moving into the manor right away, right after a big traumatic, you know, losing somebody. They don't have her be Andrea. She's the complete opposite, but at the same time, and I know that, Cadu, you do enjoy this character as well. I enjoy her for what she is, but my God, Cadu, fans, researching and like reading things on Reddit and this and that, the people, oh my goodness, people seem to really dislike her.
I feel bad for Delia because, of course, we want everyone like Melinda, just like Andrea did, but I think this is smart to have two different characters. You know, Andrea was very lovable and very understanding of Melinda's gift and her life. And then Delia is really sweet, deals with Melinda in a regular basis, very kind. But then when she discovers her secret, she's skeptical of it all. You know, she's not a believer. And
yes.
And I love their fight scenes because with Andrea, we had laughs and love. And with Delia, we had, you know, love as well, but they were fight. And I love those episodes. I think there is a YouTube clip saying that Jennifer Love deserved an Emmy for one of the scenes.
No.
And I totally agree because she goes head to head with Delia.
That was different. That's what you always do. You talk to ghosts or whatever it is, and you make people's lives better.
Well, how is it different this time?
It's different because you aren't helping anyone. You're not helping Sam. You're not helping his family. And you are definitely not helping yourself.
The last conscious decision my husband made was to risk everything just to be with me. I am not going to turn my back on that.
That's great. Believe he is out there somewhere.
Oh, you are not listening to me as usual.
As usual?
I know it's bizarre, all right? It's even hard for me to believe, but it's what happened. Jim is not just out there somewhere. He's here, in this man's body.
Melinda.
No, he took a chance out of love. And out of loyalty for the one person who meant everything to him, even though he knows it doesn't make any sense. That is what love is. In case you're unsure.
So there's no middle ground? I have to check my common sense at the door, or we can't be friends?
What do you think about those two?
First off, that scene I've watched now three times in preparation for this episode because it's like, even from Melinda's character, it's so, like, you could tell she's so frustrated up at this point. That's not the normal Melinda you get. She was really like, oh my God, just, you never believe me.
Yeah, because in season two, we have that moment when Delia is like, you are nuts.
How many times did I walk in here and see you talking to yourself or acting all jittery and I never said a word, never? I just thought you were quirky. Turns out you are nuts.
I don't want to work here anymore. And Melinda only cries, you know, she's, why are you acting like that? And then season four, when something major happens and Delia is well aware of Melinda's gift and she is still not as convinced, Melinda's pissed. You know, she's like, okay, we had this conversation before.
So I totally get there are people, even in our everyday life, Cadu, I'm sure, there's people that believe in the supernatural and there's people that don't, right? So that is very real to me. Also, the fact that she's a single mother, she's in a different part of her life than Melinda as well. It's the complete, again, the complete opposite of Andrea. And I gotta give them so much credit for not just going, here's a new best friend, fill in the blank, you know, it's going to be exactly the same. That's genius to me.
And she's older, which is, yes, you know, understandable not to believe in those kind of things.
And she doesn't want to deal with it. And the fact that she has the kid, and that, I want to say, that's what sets her off in that episode. And by the way, this is a running joke, this clip, with her saying, I always thought you were a little quirky. We'll play the clip. It was because it was her ex-husband, right, that was dead, and she told the son Ned, and that's why she really ended up flipping out, if I remember.
Yes, yes.
But you gotta say, Cadu, at some point, come on. You, like you said, it's season four. Come on, at this point, you've seen so many things. Gotta just be like, okay. That's the only thing I'll say. But I do like her.
Yeah, I do like her as well. And I love that she is different from Andrea in that sense, of course. But she is, you know, a real estate agent as well. So she's, yes, completely different from those two, you know, Melinda and Andrea.
And the fact that it took like half the season too for, or at least like at least 10 or something episodes. Like she didn't work right away, if I remember, in the antique store. Like it took time to build this relationship. They met, you know, they kept running into each other, things like that. I think it was very naturally done.
And her old job was a smart idea too, because that, yes, way Melinda can visit some houses and, you know, see dead people there and help them move on.
And still have her involved and then see Melinda do these weird things.
Can you imagine having someone saying, okay, I see dead people and there's a spirit trying to talk to you, you know?
And they said they loved you, and that's all they said. So, so also, as we mentioned, in this season, we are introduced to Rick Payne, played by Jay, yes, Moore. I really liked Rick Payne. I thought he was really quirky in a fun way. And Cadu, again, going back to this Sloan's YouTube interview with the creator, CBS didn't want it, but he wanted to play with a love triangle. What do you think about this? Not that she was going to do anything, Melinda.
I felt it.
Right? Yeah.
Even as a teenager, I totally see that he was in love with Melinda.
Now, could that be chalked up to, like, you're looking at Jennifer Love Hewitt and she's just beautiful and, like, lovely, and you're just like, you're just naturally like, I feel like if I was looking at her, I would look at her with love too in my eyes.
And it was always on his end because she is happily, yes, married, and he was always like, you know, looking at her with such passion in his eyes.
I'm glad they didn't do it, because I do appreciate a male and female relationship where she is just, she puts up with it, and you're like, you're saying, she doesn't really flirt back.
Yeah,
she'll put up with it because she's friends with him, and it doesn't cross a line, I don't think.
And I love that the side characters were always played by comedians, you know, Aisha Tyler, Jay Moore, Jamie Kennedy later on. So they have a lot of comedians in the show.
He's introduced and he is a professor. He ends up getting involved with Melinda, and these two become great friends.
Yeah, I love the dynamic between these two, because they have this playfulness and they are, you know, always making jokes. So that's good when you have a scary episode or even an emotional episode to have that, you know, Professor Payne making a joke or whatever.
I totally agree. And like you said, the fact that they did this running thing where they allowed comedians to be part of the show, it adds to that, that this is, it really is a lighthearted, yes, you will cry. It's weird to say.
Every single episode.
You will cry every single episode, but at the same time, it's lighthearted. I know that doesn't mix, like saying it, but it is. You feel good by the end of these episodes, even though you're crying.
And so many guest stars on this show. I mean, you name it. Some A-listers now, you know, we have musicians like Mary J. Blige and JC from NSYNC. And we even have a famous Brazilian actress called Sonia Braga. She's huge in Brazil, and she did a season one episode.
I love that connection.
I mean, Hilary Duff, Joey King, and several others.
Wasn't there an interview you sent me from Hilary Duff and you recognized that she was on the Ghost Whisperer set in the outfit? I loved that. But you were like, yes, this is Ghost Whisperer. You're on that set.
Yeah, when she had a feud with Faye Dunaway.
Yeah! that's what it was. She said no one knows who she is or whatever. Oh my goodness.
But do you have a favorite guest star that you can remember?
You know what? I'm going to go to the pilot. I love that Balthazar Getty was on this because it was around Charm time and I was so impressed that he had and then of course he went on Brothers and Sisters and things like that. But I remember going, oh yes, this is going to be good. And by the way, Cadu and I are noticing that there's a million Charmed alumni in this show. So that could be like a separate show. Spot the Charmed alumni.
A lot of Charmed actors.
Sometimes in the same episode too. That's crazy. But Balthazar Getty, I really enjoyed seeing him because of the Richard thing on Charmed. I know it's silly, but, and I didn't say it, but that pilot is perfect, by the way.
Perfect, yes.
Sets up the show, I mean, timelessly. So, season 3 follows Melinda as she tries to uncover buried secrets from the past. This is, here we go. She learns that the roots are bound to the roots of Grandview itself. She discovers that the town tried to bury its dark past. A whole other world was left festering literally underneath their feet. This was the final season to be overseen by John Gray. He would be credited as a consultant on season 4 and 5, although he continued to write and direct episodes. And this was September 28th of 2007 to May 16th, 2008. And going back to that interview, Cadu, I don't know why. He didn't mention why he wanted to leave, but he said CBS did not want him to leave, and they asked him if he would stay on for one more season with the new showrunner, which ended up being season 4. Do you think this is the last season that kind of holds the roots of the beginning of the series?
Yeah, like I said, I have a love for season 1 and 2, and 3 has some solid moments, like one of my favorite episodes called Horror Show, that it's pretty much an homage to horror movies. And I love that episode because not only it deals with, you know, horror movies, that something we love, but yes, I think it gives Melinda something new to do. You know, we learned that she is a horror buff and she knows everything about horror movies.
So perfect. So perfect for us.
I love that little nod for I Know What You Did Last Summer when Professor Payne, you know, said the name of the movie. And one guest star that I didn't mention before, Muse Watson, was in season 2. He is Ben Willis from...
Yes.
From last summer series. I mean, you have the killer of the movie
that
playing
is so
a cameo here in Ghost Whisperer. So I think that's great when they mix horror elements with drama. And I think season 3 has a lot of that.
So I did watch that again on Cadu's recommendation. And this is the final season for me that I remember clear. And Cadu, going by the years, I noticed this is around the time I started working overnight. And I was like on like this night vampire timeline and I couldn't record like 50 shows. So I ended up like trying to see this as best I could. So after this season, it got hazy for me. Going into this season 4, this is where the new showrunner took over. And he had a heavy hand on 2 plots. One is a major plot that really shakes up the whole entire show. And the other one was adding Eli, the character that replaces Professor Payne, almost as a carbon copy in a way. But like the fact that having him be a professor and almost similar was this new producer's idea, evidently, strangely enough. So this season, it continues basically around the season 4 and season 5. The plot lines are getting a little more open, a little more, they just become bigger and more throwing everything at the show in a way.
Yeah, I believe season 4 and 5, they became more supernatural. They added a lot more magic elements to it. You know, they have possessions, they have books of secrets of magic. And
the Book of Shadows, yep.
The Book of Shadows. And they have the shadows, the shinies. And
the shinies, yes.
Sometimes I love episodes like that, but as a whole, I feel like it distanced itself from the major theme of the show, which was spirits, you know, crossing them over, having a beautiful message about life after death. So even though I love season 4 and 5, I think it weakens it because of the magical elements. Like you mentioned, in season 4, we have a major thing that happened and changed the show. And I felt like they tried to do something new and fun, But when we are watching season 5, it's like they forgot about that, you know? So it's kind of weird. I don't know if the audience didn't receive well and they decided to, okay, let's forget about that.
Other thing is, they seem to always set up like a big season finale, right? With like a shocking ending. And having recently just rewatched the season 3 finale, they have this thing where it's Melinda, you know, everyone, and her mother just happened, you know, was involved with this. And Professor Payne sees 4 shadows instead of 5, right?
Mm-hmm.
We pick up and it's kind of just like, oh, you were worried about that thing because I saw, you know, 4 shadows instead of 5. And then we're instantly introduced to his kind of replacement because Jay Moore was given his own CBS show. He is written out and unfortunately never mentioned again for someone who was such a close friend. So that season aired from the October 3rd through May 15th, 2009. And then Cadu, there is a 5-year jump in the series. What do you feel about series that do this? I mean, we got this, what, in Desperate Housewives too, I feel like.
Yeah, and several other shows. I feel like in the first 2 episodes, it's great because we have those mysteries about what happened during those years. But I think here in Ghost Whisperer, nothing changes, only that she has a kid now that it's 5 years old.
Here we go. So you get 2 TV tropes, as they would call it. You get the time jump and you get adding a child in. What are your feelings about supernatural babies?
I like it. I feel like when it's written well, I think it adds to the show, you know, just like Bewitched and Charmed, yes, and Ghost Whisperer, because I feel like they want to revamp the show in a way that,
yes,
it deals with the kid now discovering the powers or the gift. And that, I think it's smart. And especially if they decide to come back with Ghost Whisperer at any time, because the kid will be now 20 something, so he can be the one, the actor playing that character can bring young audiences to watch Ghost Whisperer again, and having Melinda as a mother as a mentor.
Speaking of that, okay, so Ghost Whisperer ends up almost being a shoo-in for renewal, and it comes back to the medium Ghost Whisperer situation, right? And at the last minute, this was shocking to me at the time. I don't know how, you must have been shocked as well.
I was shocked, yeah, because I remember CBS loving the show. It had great numbers, and then it was canceled.
I have to say, as a Medium fan, this was so bittersweet because I faithfully, like, Medium, I had watched. It was one of those shows that I recorded faithfully. So I was so happy to get another season, but it was so bittersweet because it cost Ghost Whisperer, which there was some discussion that ABC was going to pick up. I remember this too. I did have hope for a little while that ABC was going to pick it up. It never ended up happening. And this aired from September 25th of 2009 to May 21st of 2010. Like Cadu said, there is a child added in. He is almost more powerful than Melinda, right? Like, that's the famous, your child gets more power, you know, like the next generation always gets inherited like something better because you're amazing as you are already.
Always,
you gotta make,
yeah,
it even better. So that definitely added something to the plot. And just going behind the scenes really quickly, Cadu and I both watched this video where Jamie Kennedy was talking about being introduced on the show. He knew that he was replacing, in a way, you know, this character who was leaving, a comedian like Cadu mentioned. I do love that he did say that he is on board with a reboot 100%. He's interested. And then Cadu, it says in 2018, and I'm sure you know this, Jennifer said she was adamant about a potential reboot or revival. She says, if they're gonna redo it, then I have to go back and be the Ghost Whisperer because I am not giving up my Ghost Whisperer throne. I love that. That part just meant too much to me, and it was so much of who I was. I really worked hard to make Melinda who she was. So if they wanted to do a 10-episode revival on Netflix, like finishing out the series or something, I'm happy to do that. But giving it over to somebody would crush me. Yes, I think we're ready. And maybe, Cadu, they could do the whole, like, not, I don't want to say fix, but fix a few plot things, maybe.
Yeah, or forgot about them and, you know, just had it in a different direction. I think it has room for more Ghost Whisperer because,
yes,
we are in a time that nostalgia is everything. So Jennifer played 2 important roles in her career. One is Julie James and the other is Melinda Gordon. So we, yes, are getting Julie back. So we have to have Melinda back.
This would be so perfect for a revival. Again, I was shocked it was canceled at the time because I always thought it was going to be Touched by an Angel again, a series that ran for years and years because it could be so easily, you know, digested by viewers. It's like an easy show to watch. There was also books, comic books, Cadu, as you know, a video game, which blows my mind because I would have bought it. I guess I missed it. 2009, a video game. We didn't get Charmed, but we got Ghost Whisperer.
Thank God. Something.
So it had Melinda, Jim, Delia, Eli, and the game was written by an Emmy Award-winning television writer. So it did have legs beyond. I mean, we probably got short of having like a Melinda doll. That would have been nice or something like that. But we got comics, we got books. Again, Buffy, Charmed, Angel, these series at the time got the tie-ins like this.
And before we go, I have to ask you a question.
Of course.
Do you have any ghost stories to share with us?
You know, I will say my earliest memory of really going, oh my goodness, I was probably around 6 or 7 years old. I was with my mother in our kitchen and we both heard what we thought at the time, my father coming home from work. We both heard the front door open, keys jingling, like someone, you know, trying to find keys to open the door. And we both heard the door open clear as day. I ran over and said, Daddy! He wasn't there, Cadu. I still remember to this day. And my mother and I looked at each other like, what just happened?
But you guys only heard, or the door actually opened itself?
The kitchen was like in an opposite room. So we had to walk in between, but it was silent in the house between like that. So it was like the same sound we heard. We didn't see it, but it was clearly like a door opening, keys, footsteps coming in, and nothing.
Wow, goosebumps over here.
Maybe that explains my life, Cadu, from 6, 7, like, my goodness.
But I have a similar story. I was 9 years old, and my family decided to rent this beach house. And it was massive, like, big house, because it was the whole family there. You know, uncles, cousins, grandparents, everyone. And it was by the lake, and I remember all sorts of things happening in the middle of the night. You know, noises. And we were like, what just happened, you know?
Oh my God.
And one thing happened to me in the next day. Everyone was at the beach. And for some reason, I decided to go back home to, I don't know, pick something. And as I entered the hallway, I saw a woman in white entering a room. And I was like petrified. I was like, okay, is this real life? And I followed her and it was no one in the room. True story, I'm not lying. It was the first and last time that I saw a ghost. And to this day, I don't have the single clue
of what you saw.
Of what I saw. And then when I told everybody what I just saw,
I'm chilled.
My mom said that in the same day she was taking a nap because she had a headache, and she felt a presence in the room and a hand in her forehead.
Oh my God.
So that way we knew that that house was haunted because everyone had a supernatural experience there.
I am chilled.
Yeah, and it's a true story. I'm not making it up.
I'm so glad I just heard doors and keys and footsteps because I couldn't have handled that, Cat. You're braver than I am. I would have been like, Delia. Nope.
And that's the perfect way to end the episode.
So true. So if you haven't checked out this series, it is available in one way on Hulu. They do not have the final season. I don't know what is up with that. But go by what Cadu is saying. If you're interested, start with season 1, season 2, and see what you think. You might really be in for a surprise. This is an amazing series to revisit with its upcoming 20th. We are in the year of the 20th anniversary. So thank you to Jennifer Love and the creators and cast of this beautiful series. Cadu, when you are not hanging out over here, where can the lovely people find you at?
You can follow me on Instagram, Cadu Luongo.
And the Radical Retro Rewind podcast, one word, on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and beyond. Both links will be in the description box below. We conclude our ghost month that started with ghost fever earlier in the month. I don't know. Like I said in that episode, I don't know how it worked out, but here we go. Ghost month. Thank you so much, our dear friend Cadu, for being here again.
And if you see a light, go towards it.
Stay radical. Radical mind, he's ready to roll. Did he bring your master soul?
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.